This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Yeah, it's chilly today.
You're just, let's see with your word of the year being consistency.
Yes.
Your 6 a.m. ice bath in February.
Oh, you enjoyed my ice bath this morning. I just get abuse from my co-host. Oh, I'm loving this.
Well, do you want to open the show then, Sophie? On that note.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Sophie Robinson.
And I'm Kate Watson-Smythe. Now, before we begin, we are delighted to welcome back to the show our sponsors, Natural Mat. Natural Mat make beds and mattresses by hand in Devon using natural, organic and renewable materials with absolutely zero chemicals, synthetics or glues.
Natural materials are far more breathable, more comfortable and longer lasting, all contributing to a far better and healthier night's sleep.
Did you know that the majority of mattresses in the UK are still sprayed with chemical fire retardants? And Natural Mat have always thought this was crazy. Instead, the organic wool they use, which they buy directly from farmers on their doorstep in Devon, renders their mattresses naturally fire retardant.
That's so super clever, isn't it? Now, to learn more about Natural Mat's organic beds and mattresses, head to their website, naturalmat.co.uk, or visit one of their showrooms in London, Knutsford, Devon or the Cotswolds.
And listeners of The Great Indoors can receive 10% off their first order with Natural Mat, either online, in-store or over the phone by using the code THEGREATINDOORS, valid until the 30th of April 2024.
Now on with the show, and today, well, myself especially, very excited to welcome best-selling author, global expert on behavioural design and colour psychology expert, it's the one and only Karen Huller. In other words, well, she helps businesses and interior design professionals to use colour and design to improve well-being and support our mental health, something which I am fully on board with.
Karen also consults and collaborates with companies looking for innovative solutions to social problems, who are looking for new ways of improving the human experience in balance with nature. Her clients have included Samsung, Dove, M&S, Huawei and Fiat.
Oh, look, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's honestly, you've been on our hit list for absolutely ages, but you are our first guest of 2024. But first up, Kate, I know you've got an important question that you want clarifying before we dig into the nitty gritty.
I have, because we talk a lot about colour psychology and I believe you are often called by other people and other people perhaps in your profession as a colour psychologist, and you reject that title. Now, why are you not a colour psychologist?
Well, yeah, I do reject the title, and this will just be my little soapbox moment, so just let me have this minute, right?
Consider yourself on that box.
I'm on the box.
Go, Karen.
On the box. So there is no such degree as colour psychology. You can't do a degree in it. Also, with psychology, which I actually contacted the organisation, which I can't remember what they're called. It's interesting how many different types of people that call themselves psychologists actually aren't registered. So you can call yourself an interior psychologist, a web psychologist, a fashion psychologist, and none of these are actually registered. And you can get away with it. But what it is, and this is the bit that is important for me, is that it's very misleading to the public. Because when the public think you are a psychologist in something, they think they're getting someone who has had the formal training. And I know people in many different industries that are calling themselves a colour psychologist, and they have no training even in colour psychology. So that's my big concern, is that it's misleading. I've studied fashion design, interior design. I've studied child psychology. You know, I've done a lot of behavioral psychology. I've studied a lot, but I still don't call myself a psychologist because I don't have a degree in psychology. I didn't want to spend 3 years learning Freud. Like, to me, that was just like boring. Oh, so yeah, that's why I just thought I'm not doing this degree. But the thing that was really important for me to understand the adult was to understand the child. So that's why I focused just on initially on child psychology. But if you read in magazines, if you read in newspapers anywhere, and anyone is called a colour psychologist, just take it with a pinch of salt and know that it's just a label that someone's given themselves, and it doesn't exist.
So let's dig into a little bit more then of what you are, because it's you've definitely carved out a particular niche within the interior design world. I mean, I know you work with sort of trend forecasters, and your work's, you know, crossed over into fashion and brands. But in terms of interior design, which I think is kind of where your big passion is, tell us a little bit more about the type of work you do, because it's pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah, so my whole premise about interiors is very much about connecting to the authentic self and expressing who you are in your home, because our home is an extension of us. And we want to feel comfortable in our own home, but we want to be able to express who we are. So if we are living authentically and we are wearing the colours that are authentic expression of who we are, and we know who we are as people, it would only make sense that we would want to surround ourselves with ourselves, and we can do this through colour and design psychology. And that's the bit that I love. I'm absolutely fascinated about human behaviour and using colour as a vehicle to explore that and to be able to express that.
So I mean, I may be jumping the gun here with the procedure, but so I'm hearing that we want to surround ourselves with ourselves, and that makes complete sense to me. But to just get into then, perhaps, is this a bit chicken and egg? Do we need to know ourselves to know what colour to surround ourselves with, or by choosing the colours to surround ourselves with, do we come to know ourselves? How are we unpacking this to decorate our homes?
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the chicken and egg. The colours that we have around us right now and the colours that you're wearing are a reflection of who you are right now. So if you've got a wardrobe that's full of all black clothes but a very brightly coloured home, and you're thinking, well, that doesn't seem to match, at any point in time when you bought something, there's always a reason why you bought what you bought. And yes, it could be because it was on sale, or because it was a hand-me-down, or you were given it. But quite often, that we look at the things that we really love, there will be a signpost or a point in time when we bought that, and something that happened in our life that relates back to. So what we have, yes, is an expression of who we are. But that doesn't mean it's who we are authentically. It doesn't mean who we truly are, because quite often there are layers and layers of stuff and way we think we've had to be, or the way that we've had to adapt, or circumstances, things that have happened in our lives that have shaped what we now see as being ourselves.
This is so fascinating because I come across this with clients. So it's in a way, sometimes we'll pick colours and design elements for the clothes we wear and the items we put in our home in an attempt to be someone else, like
project
exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, typically fashion's always been the place to do that. You know, I know, for example, a lot of people wear black because they want to be taken more seriously, for example, or navy, or, you know, a serious colour, you know, if you're going to go into law or be a barrister or whatever. But then what's really interesting is in this social media age, we're seeing people also create homes because they're putting them on Instagram or whatever. And we're in this much more kind of like show-offy, open our doors to the world kind of environment that people are doing in their interiors too. Mm.
No, absolutely. And this show-offy is quite often, and coming from if I'm looking at this from a psychology, everything that we do, whether we realise it or not, is because we want to be accepted and we want to be loved and we want to feel that we belong. That is the basis and the core of human nature, is to belong and to fit in, because we don't want to be rejected and we don't want to be cast out. So I think a lot of the times when we are putting our homes onto Instagram or onto social media, we are hoping that in return people will like our interiors, because if they like what they see, what we are really saying is, if you like my home, it means you like me.
Karen, I'm feeling very exposed right now.
that
really resonates, doesn't it?
But what that leads me slightly in two different directions. And one is that suddenly I feel that listeners might feel suddenly a little bit paralysed about where to go with their decoration. And secondly, are you suggesting perhaps that there's a whole host of people, a whole generation of Instagrammers who, this is a harsh thing to say, are perhaps not living authentically because their homes have been done for Instagram and not for their authentic selves?
I don't even think it's Instagram, Kate. I think people have been designing their homes to fit in with their social circle, be it the people in their street, you know.
Mrs. Jones.
Yes, long before Instagram. I think Instagram's just maybe blown it.
Yeah.
Blown it up. What do you think, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, look, do you remember when everyone wanted elephant's breath?
Yes.
If there was ever the best example of, you know, at a dinner party, I never went to these dinner parties, by the way, but, you know, at the dinner party, were you on one, Kate? Were you at the dinner party?
Yes, I know people. For those who aren't familiar, Elephant's Breath was a shade of grey by Farrow and Ball that was hugely popular. And it was a colour that could be grey in some lights and slightly warmer and beige in other lights. But it was then followed by Downpipe, which was the colour. I painted my sitting room in the last house in Downpipe, and my predictive text got to the point so much where if I typed "it's," it would put Downpipe. Even if I was talking about the weather or something else, it was just "it's Downpipe." But yes, those colours. So you didn't go to those dinner parties. I'm afraid I did, no. Karen.
Yes. So there you go. We've got someone here that can prove it. So at those dinner parties, when they said, "Oh, what colour's your living room or your hallway?" "Oh, it's elephant's breath." This took on this amazing, phenomenal growth that the colour did the marketing. And people would just say they've got elephant's breath a lot of the time for the sake of just being able to say that so that they belonged. And that is just a fantastic example just of human nature wanting to fit in. But every generation has wanted to fit in, just that it's just more obvious now with Instagram that we can just see that a lot clearer now, whereas before we had social media and we might not have noticed it because we might have had then the celebrities, we might have had the movie stars and everyone then just copies them, but it's you didn't see it on a global scale. It was more just you saw it more locally.
So what's the way through? How do you find your authentic self or with perhaps still that element of wanting to fit in?
And still, yeah, be accepted. Because for those of us who love the bright and energising and joyful palette of colours, how do you take people on that journey to move away from the safe neutrals, which, you know, for some people are the right colour. We should caveat with that, for some people. but just not everybody.
Yeah, we have to bear in mind that is it that phrase, which is a bit of a cliche, but find your tribe. You know, for some people, that is a safe, they want that safe palette for whatever reason. Maybe their job is very stressful outside and they feel safe in a kind of neutral environment, or, you know, maybe they tend to the other extreme like Sophie. How do you find what is right for you and, in your words, your authentic self and decor?
I start very much from the inside out, because even when we try and find our tribe, it's still a sense of needing to belong. I think if we really focus on who we are and center back to ourselves, because that way we're authentic. And look, we're going to be judged either way. You're going to join a tribe. You're going to do someone's house like they've got on Instagram. You're going to follow Sophie. You're going to follow Kate. Doesn't matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody who then doesn't like it. What we then can get easily confused about is we go, do they not like the style, or do they not like us? Because people are trying to do something to fit in. You're not going to fit in either way. There's always going to be people that agree with you, that don't agree with you. The only person that you have to answer to is yourself. So if you create something that you absolutely love and you think, this is me, if somebody doesn't like it, they're not rejecting you. What they are doing is they are making you, or they're making your home or your colors or whatever it is, about themselves. So all they're really saying is, I don't like this for me. And in the book, you've probably read that there was a survey, which I was absolutely blown away with and really shocked, that up to 75% of people in the UK decorate their homes for other people to like it. So therefore, 75% of people in the UK potentially are living in a home that they're not particularly comfortable in, hoping that somebody else will say, that's nice.
It's so interesting, though, the way you word that, because for me, who has a tendency to take everything personally and feel constantly rejected, that notion that someone, if they look at your decor, they're not saying, I don't like you. What they're saying is, your decor is not right for me. And in a nutshell, that I am hearing there, don't take it personally. And which is always the big life lesson that I have to learn, because I take everything personally.
Absolutely.
And this is where I sort of come back to people who try and decorate their homes for a prospective buyer 5 years down the line. Like, there's loads of people who are like, oh, I'd love to have wallpaper and fabric and colour and maximalism like you do, but what if I ever want to sell my house? It's interesting how this notion of pleasing all the people all the time stops us.
Why not, in the meantime, enjoy your house and live authentically? Why are you putting your life on hold? And why are you living a life that's not you? Because in the future, you're going to sell your home. I just could never get my head around that.
So are you saying, Karen, it's to in a nutshell, that colour is much more important than we perhaps realise? And that, would you say, you know, everything starts with colour and with us finding our colour personality? And then how do we do that?
Colour is more important, or more important than we realise, but we're usually only about 20% conscious of our colour choices that we make. So that's become so pushed down on the subconscious level that we don't even realise that we're making thousands of colour choices every day. And the other big thing to say as well with colour is, colour is emotion. So it's an emotional expression. So we are always expressing who we are, and that's a really, really important thing, that the colours that we surround ourselves with, or the colours that we pick, even if we don't realise, they are having an emotional effect on us all of the time and on our behaviours. So whilst we might think we're in an achingly fashionable home, it is having a big, big impact on our mood, on our feelings, how we think, and ultimately on our behaviours. And that is what we need to be really aware of as well.
So there's two things here to unpack. This is why this podcast is so brilliant. I just love digging into this. So one is, love the colour is emotion and it is affecting us. So we need to know the colours that are going to affect us emotionally in a positive way are. And so let's get into that first. But I also want to address the fact that we don't live alone. We have other people in our households who who may have a different emotional connection to different colours. So can you just give us a bit more indication on how colour is emotion and how we're all different? Like, this is not a one size fits all. This is not like a blue is calming, yellow's energising binary thing, is it? It's a bit, I want you to get into the nuance of personal relationships with colour a bit first, and then we'll deal with our husbands.
Yes, we all do have our own personal relationships with colour. And so, for instance, I know that I'm a spring primary personality and a winter secondary. So my yellow, which I've got on now, which is a like a sunshine yellow, would be a yellow that for somebody else would absolutely put their teeth on edge.
Kate, do you wanna have an opinion on Karen's sunshine yellow top?
So you can see that it suits me. Now, if you said to me, Kate, oh my God, I absolutely can't stand that yellow, I would go, of course you can't, because it's not the yellow for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take that personally because I know that this suits me and I know it's my yellow. So I know that your comment is about you. But what your yellow might be is a saffron yellow or an ochre yellow, one of those really
muddy,
warm yellows with muddy sort of yellows with a black in it. Now, if I wore that yellow, you would straight away go, Karen, are you okay? You look really ill.
Yeah.
Right?
If Kate wore your yellow, Karen, I know that she'd absolutely lost the plot.
It would be, you're just thinking, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But it's still yellow.
So
were
you
yellow,
saying,
right?
we do know deep down, we've just perhaps, as you said, we only pay 20% attention to our colour choices. Are you saying that if we just stopped and thought about it a bit harder, we know what colours we like?
If we feel into it and we took away everybody else's opinion, we took away what our parents told us, we took away what we're worried about what other people would think, if we take away trends, if we take away everything that is external and we really connect it into ourselves and go, do you know what? It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Because I can tell you now, when I found out I was a spring, I was livid. Livid.
Interesting, Karen, because obviously I've read your book and done a bit of work on colour psychology myself. Spring and winter, quite the seasonal polar opposites, aren't they? So I imagine the winter, is it the winter part of your personality struggling with the spring element?
Yes, because spring doesn't get taken seriously. So if we look at the season, true season in nature, and not what we've done to nature, because we can get every colour in every season. If we look at nature in its truest form as nature intended, spring is light and it's clear. So it's daffodils, you know, the daffodil yellow, it's the bright grass green, it's the lilac, it's sky blue, it's a warm yellow base and it's clear. It's got clarity to it. I'll just jump to autumn. Autumn is spring but with black in it. So autumn has got that's why we think it's quite earthy, because it will be this spring yellow, but because you've put some black in it, it makes it more this earthy, muddy colour. And that's how, it's not as simple as this, but that's how you get the sunflower yellows and the ochres, and you've got the rust reds, olive greens, you know, those beautiful, rich colours. Summer and winter are the cool blue-based. So all the summer colours is a lot what you would see in that Farrow & Boar palette, how they're all greyed out and they're all cool. So that's where you get the dusty pinks and the dusty blues and your duck egg blues, and you've got all those, you know, lavenders, all those colours that have almost, they're grey with a bit of colour in them. That's all summer, because that's all very soft and very gentle.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I think people would not assume that for summer. I think a lot of people would assume that summer was going to be the bright colours. So that's a really interesting point, that it's much, I'm thinking south of France, it's a bit Provence, isn't it? Sort of, you know, those yellow buildings with lavender and a sort of soft greyish eucalyptusy type green is actually your summer.
And what summer does is, if you think of it on a hot summer, I know we've got to try and imagine this now, but think of it on a hot, hot summer day where the sun is bleaching the colour out. That's what that is. Then winter is absolutely contrast. This is where the black and this is where the pure white sits. It's where the really, really icy, so really icy blue. So Sophie, when your bathtub outside is frozen with water and you're before you get in it, that really icy blue colour, it's where the really intense magenta pink sits, the midnight blues, the real kind of, you know, the midnight greens, those really strong, intense colours. And so every single colour that is in nature will fit into one of those four colour palettes.
And you said you were livid when you discovered you were spring. Why is that?
Because I wanted to be autumn. I wanted to be taken seriously. When you have grown up as a tall blonde and you get called a dumb blonde for a lot of your life, and then you work in colour and people just think, oh, then I'm just doing some ditzy, oh, look at these colours, aren't they pretty? I really wanted to be taken seriously. So my winter side absolutely did not like that. And I was livid. But when I saw the colours, I went, yep, yeah, that's definitely me because of the way they light me up. But what I had to do, like a lot of people, I had to really then start to learn who I was. So I started really, I did a lot of personal, I mean, I'm very open about it. I did a lot of personal development work, you know, mental fitness work. And I really wanted to understand who I was because if I was going to do this work, I had to show up authentically. So I am absolutely okay now on being the fun, the playful, the silly. You know, my friends all think I'm as mad as a box of frogs. And I know that's okay because I know that's me. My winter side, which is my secondary side, is the focus. I don't take any nonsense. I don't suffer fools gladly. But I know now that my colour palette is the spring colour palette. And I know that my design style is a mix between the spring and the winter. And that's how I get my whole authentic personality into my home.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So what's it been doing to us all, being in the grip of this grey trend for the last 10, 15 years? I mean, I think, I feel, Karen, we're out of it. There's been lots and lots of celebration of colour. Paint brands are saying they've never sold so much coloured paint. All the magazines and the trend forecasters are saying, you know, grey's gone. But we were in the grip of it for a really long time. What effect do you think that's had on people living with that monotone colour?
Let me start by saying that there is no such thing as a wrong colour. It's only wrong if it's not right for us. But there was a phenomenon with grey. And I think grey came from when in the late 90s to the early 2000s, there was a lot of white, a lot of homes that were in white. And usually what ends up happening is because of what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the world. And these weren't trends that were picked up by forecasters. These were trends that actually happened, what I call on a consumer level, on an everyday person level. And when things get too overwhelming for us, when we find that we can't cope with what's going on in the world, it's quite interesting the colours that not everyone, but, you know, a majority of people turn towards. And white was the colour in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that's very much about a colour about cocooning yourself and shutting the world out. Then white ended up becoming and feeling too cold and too sterile and too hard and too harsh. So what people started moving towards was another colour that was very safe, that still gave them that level of safety, but didn't feel so cold and hard. And that was grey. So grey is a colour. And again, this is to do with colour psychology, because I know there'll be people that'll be shouting at the podcast right now going, what are you saying, Karen? That's not true. But from the perspective of colour psychology, grey is a colour that allows us to recede, it allows us to hide, and it allows us to hibernate. When there's too much going on again in the world, we retreat back to a home that is predominantly grey. We can shut the door, we can shut all the noise that's going on outside, and it's a way of another way of protecting ourselves. But like with any colour, if we are around too much of the one colour, too much grey can actually end up draining us. Do you remember, Sophie, I think it was in 2015 at the 100% design, you said that you had dark grey in your bedroom. Mm. And I said to you, do you wake up tired? And you said yes.
Mm, definitely.
Remember that? That just came into my mind then. And that's because when we have too much for colour, we can think that grey is calming, because that's what a lot of people say, grey is calming. But what grey actually is for a lot of people, and not for some of people, because they've got a lot of grey in their colours and it's something that actually is really positive for them. But for anyone else, like someone like me, if I'm around a lot of grey, I might think it's calming me, and then all of a sudden, it's like that, you know, that TV show Pointless? All of a sudden it gets in that bar. And then instead of it thinking it's calming, what it ends up doing, it actually ends up draining. And so the
and then
up
that can be exhausting, because absolutely, you've got to counterbalance that. So you actually end up not feeling calm, but just feeling exhausted.
Exhausted. And can I share another thing that came up? And that's when we got pops of colour. That's when, see, I'm someone who I love, because I love human behaviour, I love watching what's going on in the world, and I'm fascinated by when all these things happen. And pops of colour came out, from my view, as a response to all white and all grey.
I've got two questions here. I don't know which one to go with first, but on a sort of global note, to take you back to the beginning of grey, and we had the white and we had the grey and the world outside was scary. Judging by what's going on in the world at the moment, we ought to be right back to sitting in a dark corner with white walls all around us, possibly padded white walls. And yet we seem to be having an explosion of colour and rich colours and cocooning colours. So does that mean that perhaps we don't yet know it, but we've got reasons to feel positive, or are we subconsciously feeling a bit better?
Right. So when, before the pandemic, we were stimulated by everything outside. We went to work, we went to the pub, we went to the movies, we went dancing. And you can understand that when people are very, very overstimulated with what's going on outside, a lot of the people come home, want to shut everything off. And so they would use white, grey, or very, very light colours to lower that emotional state. Then came the pandemic. All that outside stimulation is gone. And now they're in a home that doesn't stimulate them. What they were doing was starting to bring in a lot of the stimulation in their home through colour. And what they did was, a lot of them overdid it. And it was a kaleidoscope, and it was everything. And I think this is where maximalism came from. And so maximalism has got legs now. And it's done now in a, obviously in a far more modern way. The pattern, the print, the colours. And so what I am watching for now is whether people will pare back, or people will just go, actually, no, this is really me, and now I've got the opportunity to express who I am, or whether what a lot of people have done is they've swung straight back down to white, because it's like they've had the radio on full blast and now they've turned the radio off. So
hold on a minute. Are you serious? Are there people out there who used to like a white, neutral, Scandi mineral interior, who went kaleidoscopically maximalist for 3 years, who've taken it all out and gone back? I don't know anyone who's done that. Are you telling me there are people who've done that full?
Yeah.
That's freaky.
It makes sense to me, though, in terms of as you say, the psychology behind it. I mean, that to me makes complete behavioural sense. And
it's like extreme emotional decorating. Yeah. I think that sounds absolutely nuts.
Don't you remember in the pandemic, I had this, which I thought at the time, this very beautiful whitewashed loft in my last house. And we watched that 70s series, Holston, about the fashion designer. And 24 hours later, we'd painted a wall in the loft in bright, bright red.
Yes, I remember that. And
then 24 hours after that, I went, oh, my God, it looks like Virgin Active, the gym. And I painted it all back out again. It was a very intense 3 days, let me tell you. but that was exactly that. And I think that that was, you know, we were deep in the pandemic and it was like, you know, God, I need to... This colour suddenly speaks to me. I must have it. And then I put it up and I was like, no, that's not me at all. as you were.
Yeah, and that's a great, it's a great example. I mean, you just did it. You just did it in a very, very short amount of time.
Yeah. So in terms of then redecoration, I just want to bring it perhaps back from the sort of psychology, behavioural bit to a sort of practical note. If we then find the colours that allow us to live authentically ourselves, is there then a notion that if that's who we are and that's right for us, we can't redecorate it? Or is it about, do we need to redecorate because our circumstances have changed, or we're, you know, we might need different things at different times? How do we approach that redecoration?
Yeah, I mean, we're not fixed, because anytime you do any kind of design, that's a point in time. And you could have gone through a divorce, you could have moved in with somebody, you know, there's, it could be that you've got a new job, you've lost a job, you might have a bereavement, and it might be that you just need different proportions or different saturations of the colour. But your colour palette is your colour palette. But it's just being aware of why you're decorating. It could even be that a colour that you really, really love is now on trend and you could not get that colour before, but now you can get it in bedding and you go, that's, I want that colour. We absolutely need to thrive, and we can do that by being authentically who we are.
This is the question that I get asked the most, so I would love to know your spin on it. What do you do with the other half if he's got, or she's got, or they've got very different emotional colour responses than you do? What if you're like me, Miss Colour Saturated Maximalist, and I'm married to Mr. Beige, which I'm not, luckily, but some people are. What do you do?
Just so I'm spring primary, winter secondary, and I just say my partner is autumn primary and winter secondary, for instance. Already we can see that the two primary personalities are from the warm colour groups, and we both just happen to have the both winter secondary personality. So this is where the compromise is. Always stick to one colour palette, because that way the colours don't jar. Because if you start mixing all colours together from different colour palettes, there is a jarring, there's this disconnect, this dis-ease that you will find. So I might be able to say to my partner, do you know what? I can live in the autumn colours, but it's got to be the really lighter end of the autumn because it's closer to spring. Or he might say, I can live with spring colours, but it needs to be the stronger spring colours because the lighter ones are just too light for me. So there's a compromise there. And then you get the design style in. So because we're both winter, we can both have the design style can be both winter.
I think in terms of headlines, what I'm hearing is make sure your colour palette is harmonious and continuous throughout the home, and use styling elements to form your compromise. That's where you can start thrashing it out, because it is a compromise ultimately, isn't it, when you live with people?
It is. You know, they say opposites attract, but when you work out your colour palette and design style, you'll see a commonality there, because it would just be very unusual to be completely and utterly different. But what you want to also do is try and bring it just down to two design styles, not three, because that can get really messy as well, and you've lost that cohesiveness. But what you want to be able to do is that both feel that they're supported and they both feel that they're expressed in the home. And then if you've got your own study, or that you've got your own, there's a room that's just for you, go for it. You know, that's where you can really express who you are in that room, because it is just for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've found with my own journey, so for example, in the bedroom, my husband's not really worried about the bedroom decor. It's just not an important room to him. So I've very much taken ownership of that. More the kitchen, which is more of our family space, he had very strong opinions on that. He really wanted to make sure that he was comfortable with the colours and the design choices in that. So I suppose, again, it's rare that we have our own rooms in our homes, but sometimes people feel more passionate about certain spaces. Oh, Karen, this has been I knew it was going to be a biggie. I knew this was going to be a bumper episode. So much amazing content. But just before we wrap, I want to bring it back to this final concept of, we're starting the new year, For me and for a lot of our listeners, colour and decoration is our outlet. It is our joy. Can you impart any of your wisdom on how we can bring the colour joy quickly and easily and effortlessly into our homes? What do you think?
I'll share the things that bring joy into my life, which really helped ground me and get clarity on who I am. The first thing is I actually stopped years ago. I stopped watching, reading and listening to the news because that brought so much fear and so much anxiety and worry that I found that I was decorating my home to try and compensate for that as a reaction to that. So I stopped doing that. And the amount of joy that I felt and the lightness I felt was phenomenal. I spend a lot of time in nature, which also is brings me a lot of joy. And I also exercise because it's so important for my mental well-being and also for my, you know, mental and physical fitness. Just doing those three things brought so much joy into my life because I freed myself of a lot of the worry and anxiety and everything that was going on. And therefore, when I was decorating, I could decorate from a sense of joy and a sense of balance and a sense of clarity. And that made such a big change and a big difference to me.
Oh, I love that. And I concur with all those things. Oh, Karen, you've been the absolute gem and you yourself a joy. I'm just going to flag up, obviously, to all our listeners. This is my very well thumbed copy of Karen's book, The Little Book of Colour, How to Use the Psychology of Colour to Transform Your Life. It's so small, you can pop it in your handbag. It's perfect on the bedside table. Absolutely love that book. And indeed, it is a bestseller. So if you haven't got yourself a copy already, grab one. It's a book for life.
Oh, no, it was an absolute joy. I could speak to you two for hours.
I was just looking on the shelf for mine. I was about to echo everything. I love that book.
Oh, thank you.
As well as Karen's book, you can find Karen on Instagram at Karen_Huller, that's with an A, _colour. And on Facebook, Karen Huller Colour and Design.
And of course, we'll pop all those links in the show notes and inside our Insiders newsletter. So just before I go, I want to remind you again of the Great Indoors Insiders Club, where you can get your style dilemmas answered, you get priority treatment, you read our weekly newsletters, you get our design tips, we offer up our great buys, and of course, links to everything mentioned in the show. Just visit thegreatindoorspodcast.com to sign up. We'll be back next week, so that all that remains is for us to thank our sponsors, Natural Mat. To learn more about Natural Mat's organic beds, mattresses and bedding, head to their website at naturalmat.co.uk or visit one of their showrooms in London, Knutsford, Devon and the Cotswolds.
Natural Mat are delighted to offer the Great Indoors listeners 10% off their first order by using the code THEGREATINDOORS, either online or in one of their showrooms, valid until the 30th of April 2024.
So thank you, Natural Mat. And also thank you to our producer, Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective, and of course to you, our lovely listeners.
And we'll see you in the Great Indoors.